All right, so we're here to talk about creating an intelligent workplace. My name is Dennis Helms, and I'm with LogTiles. And I'm joined by my partner in crime, Alon Popnar, who is with Microsoft. And our platform, everything we're going to be talking about today, is built on Microsoft. So I asked Alon to join me. Alon is here in the area as well, and probably works with a lot of the accounts that you guys might be on. So. A little bit about us. I'm going to keep the salesy stuff to a very, very minimum. We're going to really talk about the industry stuff around Box more than LogTiles. But for those of you who don't know us, we're an international company. We're headquartered out of New York. We got our name based on our initial product, which is LogTiles Design, which actually sits on top of SharePoint and forms the basis and the foundation of the intelligent workplace. We've since branched out, and we have several products, including HyperFish for identity management. We have our Box product, as well as Wisdom, which is another product that sits on top of SharePoint that's very popular in Europe that we just acquired. So we're growing in leaps and bounds, and we're really trying to focus on the intelligent workplace. So we're here today to talk about that. It surprises me that there's such a high percentage of companies today that actually don't necessarily have a go-forward plan. They're dipping their toe in the proverbial waters of AI and chatbots and things like that, but they don't really have kind of a plan that hasn't really been well thought of. So we're going to talk about what is intelligent transformation as opposed to just digital transformation. I'm sure everybody's heard the term digital transformation. What does intelligent workplace look like? Popular AI applications for common business functions. How do you drive intelligent transformation? And then really the meat of this is the art of the AI use case, which is the beginning of your plan to kind of pave the way foundationally to an AI strategy overall that can be long-term and sticky within your environment. So intelligent transformation is really, the digital transformation, I guess, is, you know, refreshing your IT stack. It is bringing things a little bit more into the modern era, but actually doing that with a focus on intelligence is what makes it an intelligent transformation. So that's a big distinguisher between that and just digital transformation. As far as the driving force behind AI in the workplace, it's actually really driven by the consumer. You know, you've got your Siri and Alexa and everything else, and people are talking to these devices, you know, IoT devices in their homes on a regular basis. So it's the consumer market that's really kind of driving the professional side, and it's setting the standard for what needs to be available from a professional perspective. So if you look at some of these stats, 2019, that's this year, obviously, 40% of enterprises will be actively using chatbots to facilitate business processes. Now, are they doing that necessarily in a good way? Maybe, maybe not. Depends on how good their plan was. Because a lot of them just don't have a plan. That's the difference between this stat and the stat that I opened with, was 75% don't really have kind of a pathway to this. This is my favorite. By 2020, the average person will have more conversations with bots with their spouse. Given my profession, I think I was there probably 2 years ago. And she's really appreciative of that. And then by 2021, and this is the one I really want you to focus on, more than 50% of enterprises will spend more per annum on bots and chatbot creation than traditional mobile app development. Now, you know, we kind of let that sink in for a minute, right? Mobile apps have been all the rage. Everybody wants a natural app on the App Store with Apple and the Google App Store for Android. But more on bots and chatbot creation, and that's in multiple channels, whether it's on mobile or whether it's on the web or whether it's, you know, on Microsoft Teams or on Slack or whatever it is, than on traditional mobile app development. That's pretty impactive. So the moral of that story is get on the train or get ran over by it, more or less, right? So our kind of initial thought in rolling out AI, and this started for us almost 3 years ago, was we're going to take today's org chart, which looks something like this, generic, and we're going to turn it into this, which is, you know, kind of the organizational chart we call 5.0, which is to have bots working within groups and alongside of individuals as personal assistants. I would say we were a little early to that show. Two, 3 years ago, we started rolling that out. We created a bot builder that could be rolled out to everybody in the organization. You can, you know, have this bot do all kinds of stuff, book meetings for you, answer your emails, do, you know, multicasts, messaging on multiple platforms for you, all kinds of cool stuff. And the market just kind of threw it back at us and said, whoa, IT mostly. This is unrestricted. This is, we're not ready for this. But hey, do you have a self-service HR bot? Do you have a self-service IT bot that everybody in the organization can go to through their portal page? So we had to kind of pivot a little bit. And so these are kind of the four groups that we started seeing bots kind of flow into. All right, so we tried to go upper left, all right, for the personal bots, and it will happen. It will happen. Because, like I said earlier, the consumer market is what's driving this, and people are used to having that personal one-on-one kind of relationship with their at-home bot. So it's going to happen sooner or later in the workplace. Now, putting an IoT device, and I had a customer come up to me and said, hey, we'll run your bots on Alexa. We're just going to put Alexa in the middle of our cube farm, and everybody can use it. Okay, that's interesting, but Alexa is very account specific, so what happens when Alexa comes up and reminds you that you have a meeting in 5 minutes to terminate one of your employees? How's that going to go over in the cube farm? Not very good. So there's things that we have to think about in terms of privacy and stuff like that in order to kind of roll these things out. But that's kind of channel specific. So company assistance is what they started asking for. And that's really like, let's put a bot in one place that kind of represents a company policy, a company bit of information, a knowledge base, whatever it is, in order to disseminate that information to the rest of the group, to the rest of the company. And we also started getting requests for external facing assistance. So these are the kind of customer service, anonymous type bot. Anybody can go on. It might be, you know, help desk type of, or at least call center augmentation to handle first and second level call center type things. One of them was for a bank company who initially their call center employed mostly during the day. They're getting a lot of calls at night, imagine another event company. So they're like, can we get a bot out there to answer a lot of our questions on, you know, on our technology? Because most of the time, these questions are questions that people still don't understand the technology or how something works. So if we can just answer that question like most of our live people do, we can just, you know, get right to the bottom of that problem. And so so that's what we did for them for that external facing assistant. And that's been quite successful. So the bottom two vary. Now the upper right one, interestingly enough, Malin, we're seeing more and more now kind of coagulate into Teams, not quite to the personal assistant level, but to the Teams level, to kind of be Teams assistants. And ironically enough, on Microsoft Teams, right?
Yeah.
And so you want to talk a little bit about that? Or?
Yeah, without going into very specific details. So we do have, so the Teams framework is quite open and it integrates really well with laptops. And as a matter of fact, we have a couple of different projects that we have been very successful in over the last few quarters. And you know, I think with regards to the snow-facing assistance, considering that the federation within Microsoft Teams and the overall platform is really growing every quarter, we're looking at taking that use case where the federation and, you know, integrating with things like Microsoft Flow across multiple organizations will all come in and it will be part of that same bot framework. So I think that's our next step. And you know, Dennis, we're already working on a couple of different customer scenarios. So yeah, I think it's doing some tremendous, it's adding a tremendous amount of value to that end-to-end collaboration and bringing automation.
So I mentioned that, you know, at the beginning we kind of started out with a product that's out in SharePoint. We're starting to see a lot of the, you know, team-based collaboration that happened in SharePoint move to, you know, like Microsoft Teams. That's where people are spending a lot of their day. And so to have a bot that can actually sit in there and interact with them, just like they can message another one of their coworkers, but message that bot instead, is actually working quite well. So we call that a deployment channel. Web is a deployment channel. We also have, we can deploy to Facebook, so that's a deployment channel. Slack is a deployment channel, so on and so forth. So being able to kind of design that bot and then kind of roll it out to a specific deployment channel. So, a couple of benefits, and some of you probably already know this, some of this is common sense. So, I'm not going to go through and read all of them. I do want to focus on the very middle one, though. Focus on meaningful work, because that tends to be, I would say, 60% of the use cases that come to us. And so far, we've got probably 250 or so use case evaluations with different customers, and probably 100 bots out there running different use cases. So this is one of the reasons why Microsoft kind of loves us as a partner, is because we've seen more use cases than any of their partners that are out there building them custom, because we've got this platform. And so so these are kind of what is boiled down to the best benefits. But that middle one by far, like I said, about 60%, is the driving force behind bots, and that's to be, allow humans to focus on meaningful work. It's not to replace jobs. We look at things, you know, very, very specifically from an ethics kind of lens and point of view. So we're never marketing the product to go out there and replace jobs. But to allow focus on more meaningful work, well, that's a big deal. Because if you think about the menial tasks that we all do on a regular basis, something like, you know, dealing with meetings and scheduling meetings. Like, we've got a really, really good ability in our bot that does that with a neural network. And so it can look across multiple countries and continents and figure out, when do you normally like to take meetings? What time does that work out? Where are the largest concentrations of people? And pick a meeting time that works for everybody and book that for you. Like, that's pretty helpful, right? Because we spend so much time doing that. And who's an expert on booking meetings? Who cares about that? That's not our job. So that's a good kind of example. So take a minute and think about what the use cases for AI might be in your particular businesses. I don't know, show of hands of anybody who's implemented chatbots or AI in their organizations? Just a couple, okay. Successful generally or non-successful? Yeah, challenging, yeah, challenging, definitely challenging. I'm gonna put you on the spot, what was challenging about it? Like the number one thing.
Documenting processes, trying to figure out from the plot perspective what's been working, what's not, and kind of figuring out. You may have a process, but you need to kind of sometimes you can only automate segments of it, not the whole thing.
Right. So, would you say that a fair assessment of that would be trying to figure out, first of all, where you're at, what you got, and then where you want to go and what you're going to have when you get there, and then figuring out kind of the journey between point A and point B? That's kind of, you know, and that's not unlike any other process in you know, doing digital transformation or intelligent transformation, whether you're upgrading your internet or whether you're coming up with a, it's all kind of similar. So this is not that much different. It's a different interface, and that's the biggest thing. A lot of people don't understand that if you're integrating, let's say, with something on the back end, let's say you're doing an HR bot and you're integrating with Workday on the back end, that integration is not going to be any different than if you were actually creating a web page that integrated with Workday on the back end. The difference is that it's not a web page and it's not clickable, it's actually a chat bot, it's typable. So that's the big kind of mindset to think about when we're talking about bots, is that you're really just swapping out that front end UI and you're making it a lot more natural because people don't have to learn how to use it. They can just type and do what they normally don't know how to do. So the learning curve is a lot less. So these are common bot use cases kind of deployed to all industries. Not super industry specific. So we talked a little bit about the knowledge-based search bot, department concierge bot. So, you know, I have a department that's inwardly facing, whether it be, you know, let's say security or something like that, right? We did a bot for a company that's got multiple facilities and they go from facility to facility and they gotta get a badge for each one, they gotta get parking credentials for each one and all that kind of stuff. And so we got a bot for that does that. So prior to the visit, they go on the bot, it does the whole thing for them. Human resources self-service, that's a big one. External customer concierge bot, we talked about that. Sales and marketing and customer service bot. So, but what about deployed for media and entertainment? So there's three in particular that I wanted to kind of point out just to kind of give you a little bit of a diversification. So the department concierge bot, second largest global media conglomerate with 190,000 employees worldwide. And basically this thing was put out there to be an information sourcing assistant. One of the things that I'll cover in a few minutes, and I'll steal my own thunder a little bit on it, is that one of the cool things about bots is that it's an abstraction layer to information that is normally disparate within the organization. You can try to do that in a web interface through search, but it can quickly kind of become cumbersome. And people just have a natural distrust for search. They go and search and they type something, especially if it was a SharePoint at some point. And they go and they type something in search, and they're like, yeah, that's not right. I know that's not right. And so kind of this natural distrust. And also a natural tendency to think to themselves, well, what's ever in search, it's out of date. It's not going to be the latest thing we're looking for. It's always going to be something that's out of date, because the internet's generally out of date. When was the last time people refreshed that? For whatever reason, a bot doesn't feel that way to you. If the bot's delivering that content, there's almost a level of trust that you're getting it the latest content. And I don't know if that's because people think, you know, they liken speaking to a bot to speaking to potentially to a human. Microphone's going to be the death of me. Yeah. But in general, they tend to like to speak to a bot and get that latest kind of information. So that's a fairly interesting kind of point and reason why using that bot on UI interface as opposed to a web interface. The center one, I'm not going to go through each of these too in depth. This one was a sports entertainment venue, and this one had a lot of seasonal workers. So they were only open, I think, 29 days out of the year. But when they were, their complexes, you know, would literally have millions of people traversing through. And so they had, they actually had seasonal workers out there with iPads and what was it, a 96-page PDF that had all the information for that particular year on how to do things and where to go and how to get tickets and what section you were seating in and what parking and all this kind of stuff. And they had 150 people roaming around this facility just waiting for someone to come up and ask them a question. And so one of the targets there was, okay, how do we, first of all, make that easier? So step one was put this bot on their device so they could use that to actually get the answer quicker instead of having to search through this document. And then eventually the idea is going to be let's put some kiosks in there to have people be able to go to those kiosks and have access to that information. And then also roll it out to their ticket center so when people call in or they visit online or on their website, they also have information that this bot provides. So multi-phase kind of rollout, but pretty interesting use case initially. And then finally, the tech assistant bot. This is a worldwide travel and hospitality corporation. Have over a dozen theme parks around the world. And they've got, as you can imagine, a massive technology portfolio. And the average business user just wants to know, which one should I use when I have these requirements? So the bot just kind of naturally talks to them and says, hey, you know, do you want to share documents? Yes or no? Maybe. Is security important around this? And so they go through and answer the question. When it's done, the bot comes back and says, you know what? I think this is going to be the best option for you based on your requirements. And it kind of gives them all the instructions on how to set up and use that particular technology that's in the portfolio for that company. Think about that. Pretty cool, right? Because most of the time when you have all those different technologies, people don't know, they get lost and they don't know which one to use. So this bot kind of sorts it out for them, which is nice. All right. I want you guys to kind of look at these questions and remember these because we're gonna touch them again. Does the use case simplify an interface? These are kind of like sanity check questions when selecting your first use case. Does the use case provide functionality information that's disparate in the organization? We just talked about that, right? Does it replace the current process or just improve it? Or does it reduce workload or just displace it? We don't want to just displace the workload from one place to another. We definitely want to try to reduce it overall. But I use these for every customer that I talk to when they start talking about their use case. And it's one of three kind of customers. They get on the phone and they're like, all right, I've got a use case, and here's the use case, and this is what I want to do. And they lay it out so eloquently and so particular, and it fails all of them. And I've got to try to break it to them that that's probably not the best use case for a bot. Or they get on and they're like, well, generally speaking, we have this business problem. We think a bot can help. Can you get us there? And those are my favorite because that allows me to kind of take the reins a little bit and articulate to them how to get to that solution. The last one is the hammer looking for the nail, which is my CIO says, I need to adopt bots in the next 12 months. So here I am, give me something to adopt bots on, which can also be fun. But those are kind of the ones that we get. And these are a couple of use case execution pointers that I always try to kind of back up when I get yeses on all the other questions, I go to these and I say, okay, define the goal of the guided experience. That's huge. We go with the end in mind. That's just logic, right? Always gracefully land the interaction, because a bot that says, I don't know, is annoying. It's absolutely annoying for it to come back and say, yeah, I have no idea, try again later. Or I'm still, this is my favorite one, I'm still being trained. So come back later and I may have the answer to that. It's like, okay, well, what kind of time frame is that? So it's annoying. So transferring to a human, definitely a big one. We've got a lot of requests for that. Opening a ticket, you know? I can't help you with your question, but I can open a ticket for you and I can have someone contact you. You know, at least you're kind of closing the loop. And the thing that we found is that if you actually go through and you close the loop and you exit gracefully, whether that's creating a ticket or whatever, people generally feel that that whole experience from beginning to end was actually a success. As opposed to the bot saying, I can't help you, they just felt like that last 5 minutes of their life was a waste and it was not a success. And if it's one thing that I'm absolutely sure of, you only get that one chance to make a good first impression with a bot. You put it on your environment, they see it, people see it there, they use it once, the bot says, I don't know it, they're never going to use it again. Doesn't matter how many upgrades you've made to it or how you've improved it, just the trust is bottoms out and they're not going to go back. So, very frustrating. Some tools useful in creating conversations, which is what bots are all about. So, IM mockups, storyboarding, and conversational flowcharts. The IM mockups are really cool. I like to get people onto, you know, Skype for Business or whatever it is that we're using, GoToMeeting, whatever, and say, okay, you're this me, you're the person asking the questions. If you wanted to get this information from this person, how would you normally do it? Just start typing to each other in IM. And let's see what that IM conversation starts to kind of look like and how it falls out. And we use that for a basis of how the bot kind of talks. And not necessarily the same, you know, language or whatever, but at least the kind of questions that are being asked. If you do that with 10 or 15 people trying to look for the same information, you'd be surprised that patterns start to fall out. And you'll be able to actually design a conversation that will be useful for everyone else using that bot down the line. And keep recognition in the forefront of the design. Nothing's more annoying than just being able to say, yeah, my requirement is a bot of answers to everything. So you can go on and you know, ask the bot anything you want. And the reality of it is that bots right now can't answer everything. They're domain specific. And it's best to keep them domain specific and make sure that people understand what that domain is. And so that way you're doing a really good job in a small focus point rather than trying to rule the ocean. Because people take advantage of that. They'll start asking the bot, oh, if you're so smart, what's my dog's name? And you'll see that in your metrics, and you're going to be like, okay, well, that was a waste of time. So one of the bots that I wanted to kind of focus on a little bit, and this is one that Melinda and I worked on together for a theme park, and this is why I said, remember those questions, because here are these questions again. Okay, so this is kind of demonstrated. So the business problem. Major technology upgrade from Office on-prem to Office 365. And this is kind of an aging workforce too. So these are guys who were really, really comfortable with using their on-prem Office tools. And moving them to Office 365 was kind of tough. And so that was a big deal. So we went through and, you know, does the use case simplify the interface? Yes, because the business problem is already one of having a new interface to deal with, because they were going to make a website to kind of pull all this information together. So instead of doing that, we've made a bot. Does the case provide functionality information that's disparate in the organization? That's kind of the whole point of it. Does it replace your current process or improve it? It was all about getting that information from where it needed to be into the hands of the people, so it definitely improved it. And does it reduce workload or just displace it? It definitely reduces. I'm now switching into expedited mode because I'm running low on time, so if I seem to be going fast, that's the reason why. So a couple steps for rolling out your AI strategy. I'm going to focus on the first one, the last one. Pilot. Don't just roll it out blindly. Pilot it. Gather the feedback and remediate. So that's kind of the big deal. Kind of test the waters. And then at the bottom is, you know, iterate. Don't try to, again, like I said, roll the ocean. Go with one specific area. Get really good at that one area. Make sure people understand what that area is. Get them using it, and then expand it to a second area. And now you're providing double, in their minds, the value for that bot, but yet I still can go use that bot for the initial thing that I was there for. So all the stuff in the middle is nice, but First one and last one, big deal. And the four guiding principles of AI in the enterprise. This is one of the reasons why, in addition to the technology, we kind of partner with Microsoft. All of our stuff is built on the Microsoft platform, is because this is kind of goes in line with Microsoft's kind of approach to AI. Trust first, the quality of the data, reflecting diversity, and my favorite is privacy and ethics. And we're on the privacy and ethics committee for Microsoft, which is about one of 10 or 12 vendors that Microsoft pulled together and said, hey, for all of the other vendors that are going to end up using this platform, what are we going to think about in terms of ethics? And we all sat around a table all day and tried to figure out, you know, pulling from different use cases that we had. One of my favorites that we had was a lady came to me and she was an HR rep, and she said, you know, we want to be able to make our hiring process better, so we want to use a bot with some image recognition to actually go in and text analytics to go into LinkedIn and take applicants and figure out whether or not they would be good matches for a job. And I said, okay, well, I can understand the text analytics part of it because you're trying to kind of pull out things out of the resume or whatever, but what about the image part of it? Well, you know, it analyzes their LinkedIn profile picture. And I'm like, okay, that's a little weird. So what are you trying to get out of this, right? Are you saying that they're going to be more or less hireable depending upon what their gender is or color is or whatever? Like, what are you trying to do there? If they have a beard, or this guy and me kind of screwed out of a job because we have beards, like, well, what are you going for there? And so she kind of backpedaled a little bit, and I was like, well, I'll be happy to do that first, but you've got to actually talk to her about that determines, you know, looks at your LinkedIn picture and determines whether or not you're going to be a good customer. And we had a good laugh over it. We decided to kind of leave that one to the pole. It just wasn't a good ethical use case. So that's a big deal. I was going to have Lynn talk a little bit about it, but, you know, in the interest of time. We'll just kind of leave it at that, but...
The lady was not from Microsoft HR.
No, she was not from...
We got to turn this room, so let's go. Thank you so much.
Yeah, if any of you guys are interested in doing a bot workshop...
2 minutes to turn the room, ladies and gentlemen.